It's kind of unfortunate what Clyde Barre and the trustees did years ago. They used to be a clock back there, so I'd know how long I was preaching. It's gone. So here we go. I want to thank JJ for inviting me to preach this morning. It's World Communion Sunday. And I want you to imagine that you join with people in many denominations, in many countries, using many languages, different customs, different music. But we join together in that one spirit. The scripture I'm going to use this morning is Luke 7, 31 through 50. I preached on this in July of 2004 and in November of 2005. Y'all remember that, right? Yeah. Now, I know Bob Callison and Neil Groover don't, because they slept through the whole thing. I mean, even when I got a standing ovation both times, they just kept sleeping. Who would have thunk it? But here we are, same scripture, different view. When Steve Houston and I go out taking bird photographs, we'll see a cardinal and go, "Oh, good, great, it's another cardinal." And it's a joke because we've seen scores and scores of them. But sometimes, you know, the view's different. The color's richer, the background. And that's the way with any scripture. You've read it before, but you go back and you see it and you go, wow, it's amazing. I've got two homework assignments for you. So find a pencil, pen, a piece of paper, and write these down, okay? Come on, I don't see anybody reaching for... Okay. One, I want you to look up on the internet C.C. Winans and her song, The Alabaster Jar. Now, C.C. Winans is one of the most, I suppose, well-known, famous gospel singers, and her take on this scripture is, well, it's going to be better than my sermon. And if you happen to be a friend on Facebook with me, the lyrics are there. Go look for the lyrics. They're profound, wonderful, touching. And then the second assignment. This story, sort of, is told by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I want you to go look these up, and then, like scholars and preachers for 2,000 years have wondered, what's going on here? How did this happen? Well, it happened because the stories were written decades apart by different evangelists in different geographical places and with a different audience. So there's nuances, and, you know, these two agree with this one, and this one agrees with these, but not that one. So Mark 14, 3 through 9, Matthew 26, 6 through 13, John 12, 1 through 8. You'll be intrigued by the differences. Notice, well, just look. It's fascinating. Now for Luke's version, his take on what was the oral tradition, what was passed down as evangelist disciples traveled from community to community as the emerging church came about. So, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And when Jesus went into the Pharisee's house, he reclined to dine. Now imagine a low table with the people literally reclining as they lean into the table. That's the picture, okay? And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair, kissing his feet and and anointing them with ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were really a prophet, he would know who and what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner, you know. Jesus stood and said to Simon, Simon, I've got something to tell you, okay? And Simon says, well, okay, tell me. Now, it may be different. This is my translation from the original Greek. Jesus said, a money lender had two debtors, one who owed him 500 denarii, and that's about 17 months of salary. Imagine if you owed the bank 17 months of what your monthly income is. That's the one. And the other owed 50 denarii, a month and a quarter, something like that. So he had the two debtors. And then Jesus said, well, also, then when they couldn't pay, the lender forgave their debts. And then Jesus says, now, which one of them will love him more? Simon answered, duh. I suppose the one for whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said, yeah, you're right. And then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet that I might wash and clean my feet. But she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss of greeting. But from the time I came in, she's not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, the fragrance to take away some of the day's dust and odor. But she's anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins are forgiven. And so he's shown me great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. And then he says to her, your sins are forgiven. Your brokenness is healed. You were lost, but now you're found. Huh? I added that in. But those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, who is this that even forgives sins? But Jesus said to the woman, your faith, your trust, your belief, your assurance has saved you, has healed you, has affirmed you, has given you new life. And then he said, go in peace. This is the gospel of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. It happened at the table, day and night, again and again, at my family table at 412 West Gore, Far, Texas. My mother was sitting at the end of the table. I was sitting next to her. Jimmy was there. Dad was there. Bobby was there. My spoiled, rotten little sister was there, you know. And just behind my mother, in that glass-framed bookshelf, was Etiquette, the book by Emily Post, written in 1922. Any of y'all ever been afflicted with that? Yeah. Well, my mother never hit me with a chancla or with that book, but she used it from time to time, you know, when our elbows were on the table, or the napkin wasn't in our lap, or when she just wanted to teach us some manners to use there at the table or elsewhere. Well, today, it happened at the table. It was a lesson in etiquette, if you will, manners, hospitality. More than that, it was a lesson in humility, grace, forgiveness, new life. At the table, there's Jesus, Simon the Pharisee, others, and then this woman who is a sinner, as everybody in town knows. What follows is a profound story of the forgiveness offered to everyone, even to a sinner known, it seemed, by everyone in the town. It's about the touch of grace that heals someone who's looking for mercy and a new life. And it's about a deep, humble joy that comes from recognizing the gift of forgiveness and that unconditional offered by Jesus on behalf of God. And then there's that harsh contrast with Simon, who judges others. There's his self-assurance he has because he's following the law. Emily Post's book of etiquette wasn't written yet, but there were clear customs, expectations about hospitality in that first century Judea. The absolute proper ways to greet a visiting rabbi who was invited to dinner. And of course, there's this hard view of the place of a woman in this society. And especially this woman, everybody knows, is a sinner. It happened at the table, though. There were so many violations of etiquette, of manners, of customs, of what would have been considered the godly way of life. There's this woman. She never should have shown her face in that house. She never should have uncovered her hair and let it down. She never should have shown her face. And she never should have touched this man, any man. No woman was supposed to touch a man, especially one unclean, a sinner. But she had heard already Jesus preach about forgiveness, of that accepting grace of God. It's as though she was lost and finds herself found. She was blind and now she sees. And she's filled with gratitude and joy. So she comes with joy and shows her thanksgiving. And in Mark and Matthew's version of the story, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whenever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." He's the one, the Pharisee, he's the one extending the invitation to Jesus to come into his house for dinner. And he's the one who insults Jesus in front of those around the table by his utter lack of hospitality. He's the one who judges the woman. He's the one that judges Jesus. And then it happens at that table. It's a story about forgiveness and gratitude and joy as the response. There's this woman who had heard in the depth of her soul the good news. Jesus brings a reconciling love of God that accepts her, affirms her, grants her forgiveness. It leads to a new life. And then there's this great joy that outbreaks in these acts of love at his feet. I'm left wondering as I look at the story, whatever happened to Simon, that Pharisee? How did he respond to that example of grace? And I'm wondering now, what happened this morning at the table? This morning with you and me. We're coming to the table in a few moments. Shall we come like this woman who knew who she was and who she knew she could be by God and Jesus? This man who offers her the forgiveness of God and the encouragement to live accepted and affirmed in a new life in grace. I once visited with a woman who told me on a communion Sunday she would not be coming because she didn't feel like she deserved to come. I don't know what she knew about who she was or what she had done, but she didn't know that she deserved. And I thought, what about me? And what about you? Do we deserve to come? By God in Christ? Yes. Once upon a time, when I was pastor in San Marcos, Doug Bynum and I were moving down the altar rail, offering the elements. We came to a four-year-old boy and his mother, served them, and moved on to the next person. When we overheard, the little boy said, "Mommy, I want some more." Doug and I looked at each other, raised our eyebrows, and I wondered, was this kid just hungry? Or was he a mystic, sensing something in the community and at the altar? I'm wondering, what's going to happen today at the table for me, for you? Will we come like that woman, you know, a sinner like me, like you? And will we come away wanting more? Not just a taste today, but a taste every day, remembering the flavor of that forgiveness. We want more, don't we, of grace, of forgiveness, more knowing of that because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we matter. Because by Jesus, we matter in our new life, in the good news. There's a hymn in the red book there. "I come with joy to meet my Lord, forgiven, loved, and free. In awe and wonder to recall his life laid down for me, his life laid down for me. And thus with joy we meet our Lord, his presence always near. Is in such friendship better known, we see and praise thee in him. We see and praise him here." May we be more like that woman and less like the Pharisee when we come with joy. May we pray. We lift up your word this morning, O God, a remembrance of your loving us, of your forgiving us. And we come to the table, this sacrament of grace, of your unconditional love we know so surely in Jesus Christ. May we taste the goodness of the Lord here. Amen.